about the what the disciples actually knew when Jesus came. What did they know about God? What did they see in Him? And we concluded that they had no idea who He was. And at His death, He revealed more about it. And they saw a few angels and saw a few events. And when Jesus said, "I have more to tell you," they had no idea what was embedded in that, "I have more to tell you." Well, somewhere along the stream of time, the Adventists show up, and we see a few things in the Word of God that seem to point to a group of people that behave in a certain way, believe certain things, and all of a sudden, it's all about us. And we begin interpreting the whole Bible in light of that. And we have put our impressions on the book of Revelation, and there are several things that come through. Whenever we look at the book of Revelation, the impression we get, or at least the impression I got, I don't want to impose on you my reaction, but the impression you get is that the group of the righteous gets smaller and smaller and smaller until you can give it a number. Only 144,000. And when you look at the struggles and see the persecution and the trials that the children of Israel are going through, and you hold that in mind, the book of Revelation is just compounding and compounding and compounding wickedness and evil and pain and trial. And the more you look at it, the more difficult it seems to be if we're even going to be able to make it. I can personally remember reading some of the descriptions, be it in the Bible, Spirit of Prophecy, that actually made me tremble, actually made me afraid, made me think in my heart, "I hope I die before that stuff comes. It's going to be so horrible. I don't know if I can go through it. I don't know if I can survive, if I can ever measure up to the standard of the 144,000. And so it's a very, very depressing picture. It seems to be a mystery. Well, who in the world cast that aura about it, that we see pain, we see elimination of people, where we see evil triumphing and righteousness just barely being able to succeed, and we can count on however many hands we have to get up to 144,000, and that's it. The more I read Revelation, the more that telescope is going back and back and back. And when it goes farther back, there are many beliefs that I had that just keep falling away. And when we look at that book through the right perspective, all of a sudden, one of the most beautiful, hopeful, victorious, glorious pictures come out. And the book of Revelation is not just about the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is not only the culmination, but it is the illumination of everything God did from Genesis right on through. Is contained in the book of Revelation. But as soon as man gets hold of it, and man becomes, through whatever conniving he goes in his mind, that it's all about him, the narrower, more narrow, the more difficult, the more painful it gets. Guess who created that? And he'll do anything that he possibly can to turn us away from the light that is in the book of Revelation. So, listen to what I have to say here. I'm going to read a few statements, and let's talk about it just a little bit to see where you are in this. Here is the truth of the matter. It's not all about you. Second thing, it is all about you. It's not all about God. It is all about God. It's not all about laws and regulations and ceremonies and formulas. And yet, it is all about God. I mean, laws and ceremonies and formulas. That seems so confusing. How do you get through all that? And what the Father is trying to do in the book of Revelation is to take that group of small seeming residual effect of his ministry that hardly one of them really believed, none of them grasped. And as they were in that upper room, now remember, the last chapter of John is after Jesus showed himself and he's ready to ascend to heaven. What did the disciples say? Peter said, well, let's go back fishing. Right where they started. I don't know what that does to you, but that just scrambles my brain. How did they go through that? How did they see all of that? How did they witness all of that? Put their fingers in the pain, in the sores that he had, and said, well, that was good. Let's go back fishing. You think that Jesus would get so disgusted, so upset. But where do you find him? In the middle, they're out fishing. Where is he? He's up on the shore. Yeah. Where'd he get the fish? I remember there's a God who ate fish, by the way. Kneeling on the shore, crying out the same thing he did when they started. Gentlemen, have you caught anything? We've been fishing all night. We haven't caught a thing. Cast the net on the other side of the boat. Where had they heard that before? And so many fish got in the net that it was almost breaking. Peter stripped down and paddled to shore. What was it about that overwhelmed him? When Jesus knelt beside the campfire, now I want you to hold on, Peter. I want you to I want you to feed my lamb and feed my sheep. Are you sure you love me? Oh, yes, Lord, I love you. Now, I want you to do this and this. Are you sure you love me? Oh, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And I want you to do this and this and this. Are you sure you really love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. And I imagine Jesus was saying, where's the evidence? What else could I do? And Jesus was saying, hold on. I've got something to show you that you can't take it at this point. And all of a sudden, that telescope begins to back up. And we begin to see a grander, larger view. And what did John see? When he first started, he just saw this lone picture of this God that walked among them. And then as Revelation opens up, the telescope is moving back. And finally, it gets back to the place to where they see him, the Lamb of God, sitting on the throne of the universe. Holy mackerel! You mean that's who walked among us? And he says, hold on. I've got more to tell you. Now, I'm going to tell you in advance. I'm going to take a position. When I tell you a story this morning that I personally have never understood. And to this point, I haven't read. All of a sudden, some different versions of this story is starting to come out. And the versions that are coming out are so breathtaking, so beautiful, on the book of Revelation that you almost can't put it down. Now, remember, chapter 4 and 5 revealed the magnitude of who Jesus is, who the Father is, and they got a view of this grand universe. And then he goes and he has this book. And he starts to open the book. Well, this book has seals on it. Now, you got to remember that the book really isn't open until chapter 10. We're looking at chapter 6. And what is your summary of what is found in chapter 6? The seals are broken. Now remember, we still haven't seen the content of the book. But this seal is revealing in stages something that God wants them to know. As Seventh-day Adventists, we date it to where it's starting somewhere at Pentecost and coming up to guess who comes on the scene? Here's this group that has a certain belief system that looks at certain things and interprets it in a certain way. Oh, it's all moving to describe that. But I want you for a while this morning to take the attitude that what we see there is actually a bigger picture than what we've ever seen in our life. The book opens up at the throne of God at the beginning of time before man was ever on this earth. We used to take the white horse as Jesus sitting on a horse and the truth finally going out after Pentecost. That's where we date it. I now don't hold that position. I believe the one that's on that white horse is the devil. I don't believe it's Jesus at all. I believe that the devil was sitting on that white horse, and what was his job? To go and to take the brilliant news about who God is. And he was going out to spread it throughout the universe. But we see this slow, gradual change from this one who started out so pure, so true, to the knowledge about God that the whole world, because they said, who would know better than this man that stands in the presence, or this being that stands in the presence of God? And all of a sudden, it changes into a red horse. Changes into a black horse. Changes into a pale horse. It is the degradation, the increased lies that the devil had changed and was telling about God. I reread it with that in mind, and all of a sudden, it's like blinders start falling off your eyes. And in chapter 6, we have all of those seals with the exception of one. And we see a glorious, prosperous beginning, but then all of a sudden it keeps degrading, 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 until it gets to where there's absolutely, it's a pale, ashen horse that looks like death. That is the progression of truth, and what the devil has done has stolen from it all of its life, all of its beauty, and we have that ashen horse that has no life in it. That's what the lie the devil told did about the truth about God. Sucked it dry of all of its power. And we are sitting here saying we have the truth. And how much evidence is there of that? What's happening to all of our youth? When I did a research on that and took a survey of all the statistics that we had in the United States and then in the world, what's our retention rate? Less than 10% of all the children born into this church. Less than 10%. How are we growing? Well, when we were doing the Three Angels broadcast, we asked, how's it going with this broadcast? Well, we are in all the world. I thought, that's amazing. Really? Well, no, there's one little part that a radio signal won't go into. And we're every place else. The message has been broadcast every other place on the earth. And what is the effect? The membership stagnating? Even the truth that we say that we have, the power of it is dying. And God sees that. It doesn't mean that we're in the wrong church. We have the most glorious message that has ever been revealed to this earth. Broader, more powerful, more beautiful than anything that's ever been proclaimed. And it's almost powerless. So, in chapter 6, after 6 seals have been broken, the question on the minds of the disciple or of John said, then who in the world can survive? Look what truth has done. It's come from the glorious throne of God, and it has ended up lifeless. And look at the horrible devastation that's in the world. It just keeps going downhill, worse and worse and worse. And guess who has influenced our belief system in the most glorious book that's ever been written? And we end up with the thought that we end up terrified, we end up with fewer people, we end up more persecution and more trial. And we close the book and we don't want to read it. Well, guess who started that? One of the passages that I read during this study, trying to understand this, Mrs. White said a couple things just lit my heart with joy. One of them is, God never expects us to produce what we have no ability or power to produce. You know what the context was of that? Right in the context of being one of the 144,000. Now let me say that again. God never expects man to produce what he is totally incapable of producing. And that is her description of the 144,000. Well, who does that? The question in chapter 6 was, who can survive? Now the focus is on what God is doing. I tell you, this message will end in such a glorious, powerful, billions of people. Not just 144,000. Well, where do they come from? Where did the 3,000 people every day come from when the disciples preached? Where did they come from? Pardon?
All nations. They came from all around.
All around. Oh, how did they get out there? How did they hear that? Oh, they had the 3-angel broadcasting network back then.
Megaphone.
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus healed a leper and said, go tell them what I did for you. Jesus healed some demoniacs and said, go tell them what I've done for you. Jesus took a young man and said, can I have eternal life? You do this and this and this. Well, I've done that from my youth. Exactly. And that's exactly a picture of the youth that we see and what's happening today. They've done that all their life. And yet there is no life. So the people came from two sources. All the seed that was sown when Jesus was there. What did Jesus do with this woman at the well? Sent her in the city. This man has told me everything that's ever happened to me. Every man in there stuck his head out the window and said, what? And they all tore out of the city to go see this man. And they spent 3 days with him and they begged him, please don't go away. Where did those people go? What did they say? You see, the reaping at the Pentecost was the reaping from all the seeds that were sown from Jesus' ministry where they went out and they told. And how did they find out? Here's the second source. It finally dawned upon the disciples who God really is. And they couldn't shut up. They ran out and they told, and all of a sudden, these people heard this and they were coming in by the groves. That's where they come from. Well, where are they going to come from in the last days? As Jesus works to reveal himself and to give a portrait of what he's really like, the term 144,000 is sort of symbolic. But it says that the last days there will be a group of people who have been so convinced about the glory of God and what he's really like, they cannot be moved. They will not change throughout eternity. And it is those people that go out and proclaim to everybody in the world what God is really like. There will be a harvest that is so great we cannot contain it. Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
Absolutely. And we have been called to do that by doing what? By beholding. You know that you cannot behold the glory of God for 1 second, one glance, without it having an impact upon your life. And as you're beholding that, and as you see that, and as your life begins to reflect that, and your testimony can't help but say what he's like, guess where that great harvest is going to come from? Exactly the way it was. And Mrs. White said, as it was in the days when Jesus was here, it'll be at the end time. Those people will be proclaiming with everything they have with such earnestness. Now, let me tell you where else they will come from. Help give some meaning to all of that trial and persecution and all the evidence. The world is, as it seems, being torn totally apart, turned upside down, and it looks like the devil is vanquishing us. But I learned this week that all of that persecution, all of those trials, all of those signs in nature and in government all around the world, God is allowing that to happen so that everyone in this world will realize the absolute baseless foundation they have for where they are, and they begin looking for an answer. And guess who has the answer? The 144,000. Every one of those disasters, God is allowing the angels just to hold back. And what are the angels doing? It's not like God saying, have all this horrible stuff there, and then as an angel of God, throw it out on the earth and let it do its work. That's not what he's doing. The angels are trying to hold back the evident result of what sin does. And the devil wants it to wipe out the entire world. But the angels of God are holding it back, and God is allowing those angels to allow some of that turmoil, some of that strife, some of that chaos to come through to wake up his children. And guess what? It drives them to seek an answer. And guess who's there with an answer? John heard the number, and there's 144,000. John was weeping. How is it that all this wonderful truth only produces 144,000? He heard the number, his heart was breaking, and then John was instructed by the angel, turn around. And as he turned around, he saw a group of people so large that no man could number. That's not a group of people from the time when earth began. That's a group of people from our time, our day. It is the great harvest that is to come. Well, what powers them? You ever heard of the sealing? The sealing in Ephesians? The people are going to be sealed. They're going to be sealed in their forehead. Well, what is that? They have come to a total conclusion that God can be trusted, God is love, and God placed His seal upon them. Then, when they're going out and telling the truth about what God is love, like, not like the devil did from the very beginning, they're telling the truth of what God is like. Now the Father says, let the latter rain fall. And it's that latter rain that empowers the people to go with such intensity, such drive, that they go every place. Nothing will stop them. You tell the truth about what God is like. Truth triumphs. The harvest is astronomical. So what does God do? He's finally answered the question. How powerful is love? How trustworthy is God? It almost looks with all this devastation like God has vacated and left the world alone and let it struggle on its own. Do you know that heartbeat you just had was from God? That breath you just took, that hair that just fell off your head, God said, minus one more. He knows you. He's with you every moment. But it's not all about you. But yet the Bible is full of all of those statements of how absolutely precious you are. And it's His love for you and your value to Him that drove Him to do everything He did. God permeates everything. He hasn't let anything go. But God will never take away from you freedom. He'll never take away from the man who wants to kill. He'll never take away his freedom. But everything that's going on in this last day is God's effort to wake up those who have no foundation to turn to Him. And God will make sure that one of those people is going to go out and say, listen to the story that we have. Listen to what's happening. Folks, we have so limited the character and the influence of God by saying that the stars falling was back in 18-something and the earthquake was back somewhere. We got a date for it. Stars fell, the earthquake, all these things that we talk about, it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the truth that God is trying to help us to understand about who He is, so that He will get you so excited that every time you get an opportunity, you're looking at Him just a little bit longer, a little bit more. You're drinking a little deeper of what He's like. And what happens by beholding Him? You become changed. Chapter 7 is God victorious. The 144,000 is about a group of people who've been so starstruck, so convinced of the glory of who God is, that God says, you got it right. I can be trusted. I am love. I do value your freedom. And in the midst of a world that seems like it's coming totally apart, God is still in total control. God didn't cause one plague, but those plagues are coming. God didn't cause one bit of torture or torment or destruction. But God uses what the devil is trying to do and turns people toward Him. And John said, oh my goodness, where did all these people come from? They came out of a time of great trouble, a time of great persecution. Now, I hope I stirred up your gray matter, that there is something far deeper, more beautiful in the book of Revelation than what we have ever seen before. Now, what kind of questions are going through your mind? I want to stop long enough. I have several things I'd love to read and share with you that came out of this, but I couldn't wait to get here. What kind of questions does this generate in your mind? What do you see? It's going to happen anyway. God's trying to cause the consequence to hold back. How long? Until His saints are sealed. Because that thing that shook the whole world, whatever it was, awakened this person, and God sent the truth, made it available. Oh, wonderful. It is just incredible when you see His care, His nurturing and what He's doing. He's not a weak, broken, unable being.
He wants to do it.
Oh, He's just absolutely incredible what He will do. And the devil is the one that got us to take these beautiful truths and to hold them in such minor, encrypted, dark ways that it just keeps draining the life out of the book, draining the life out of everything. We've got the most beautiful teachings in the face of the earth. And what do they do? We have turned it around to where this is the obligation. This is what you have to do. Have to keep savvy. I have to do all those things. Well, do we throw it all away? Heavens no! It's more vital to us now than it's ever been, but the life of Jesus Christ is being infused back into what that is all about. Have said, that's what it looks like. We're the ones that did that. Yeah.
There's so much confusion and problems.
Absolutely.
People need.
Absolutely.
They need understanding.
And listen.
To be able to influence these people because they are set in new ways many times. Even our old loved ones who have been brought up in our church, our young ones that leave.
Yeah.
Why do they leave?
Yeah.
How do we get to
Yeah. And you see, the Father knows the lie, the act, whatever it was that was done before that child that led them to the place where they took it all and discarded it all and said, I want nothing to do with it. Do you think God's going to kill them? He's going to torture them? He's going to allow them to go? Do you know what's going to make up that number? Many of the people are going to make up that number of that multitude that can't be numbered. Our children. You think God wasn't there when that poor person in the darkest place of the earth was brought in? Did God get mad at him because he was born there? Did he get mad at him that he didn't act in a certain way? God's not angry. God will make sure every human being. And when it says it's written in the books, do you know what that means? That God recorded in the books, that God displayed the greatest display of His love was given. And in full light of what that said, the leaders of Israel said no. And when it says that they're hidden in the caves and the rocks and they're praying for the truth, praying for the rocks to fall on them, to hide them. Do you know what that prayer is? Hide us from the truth about who God is. And do you know who the leaders of the world are blaming caused all of this disaster and this chaos? The 144,000. And the declaration goes out, kill them. And how successful was he in killing them? He can't touch them. It says that God covered them with his mantle and they can't touch them. I'm ready. Pin me against the wall. What kind of questions do you have?
We live life forward, but we only understand looking backward.
Yeah, yes. A lot of truth to that. Did I so overwhelm you that you can't even get your thoughts together? Or did I bore you and you can't wait to go to sleep? Or did, what?
Are you saying that Satan rode down the white horse before he fell?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Yes.
Power and what was the other word? Anyway, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yeah.
Before every age, now and forever.
Yes.
And I looked up that word, several words there with my thesaurus. I looked up majesty. It gave no synonyms or antonyms for that word. I've never seen that before.
Oh.
But you put power in there and it's got muscle and all these other things.
Yes.
Majesty is our God.
Yeah. And do you know what Jude, what that last verse is talking about? Revelation 21. Praise and glory to God for what He has done for us. It's incredible.
Robert,
yes.
It inspired me when the Lord was talking about the young people. And you know, sometimes we're just having difficulty reaching them. You know, it dawned on me, you know, Miriam's got a little 10-year-old girl and Gabby, and so many times, you know, we find ourselves so frustrated and angry because, you know, she's not doing what we ask her to do or you know, responding in the way we'd like. And it dawned on me many times, the question to myself is, what am I so angry about? And in a way, I can, you know, relate that to you know, when we think about talking to other people about God and the truth and things, and then what are we really trying to convince somebody of?
Yeah.
And if we're trying to convince them that what we believe is what they need to believe, then we've lost.
Absolutely. Walk in Gabby's shoes and try to see what you look like through her eyes, what you're trying to do.
Right.
Yes.
You know, sometimes these children that we worry about and pray about so much, if we take a look at their walk with God, it's beautiful.
They may have a better one than we do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and they're only responding to that much of the truth, because everything that we told them just overwhelms them, or just whatever. But thank you very much. Our time is just about gone, and I didn't want to disturb the saints too much, but I tell you, it just absolutely took the book of Revelation, opened it up for a totally different perspective. And I guess I guarantee you, God will do the same thing for you. When you open that book and you have that portrait in there and you see what he's doing, all of a sudden, the book begins to make sense. Father in heaven, we bow before you and our hearts sing out with the angels, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty in what you have done." Father, the devil is not more powerful than you. And when the time was right, the revelation of your glorious character will be made known. And I feel like I understand about as much as a snowflake on top of an iceberg, that there is more to come. Please guide us. Help us to understand more fully who you are. Oh, Father, thank you that you never let us go. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.